This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Imagine, everybody, just take a moment to imagine if that was the Knicks advertising campaign. If you're a Knicks fan, enjoy the fact that they're competitive on most nights. Tickets at Ticketmaster and at the Garden Box Office.
Right. The Knicks. Sometimes they put in effort.
Amazing. Hey,
don't be surprised, Michael, how many general managers in sports would take the 10 years of going to the playoffs instead of the one championship. Because they want consistency, be relevant. And I don't know, maybe they think this is relevant. Maybe they think being in the play-in and being above average is okay. They sell out the Garden every night, right?
Yeah. But we've met Dolan off the air and talked with him. He wants to win. He might go about it the wrong way when all said and done. Maybe he doesn't have the patience. But he's done okay with the Rangers. He wants to win. I don't think it's about making money with him. He makes a lot of money. Whether the Garden has 16,000 people in it or 18,000, he's doing just fine. He's not going to have any telethons in his honor. He desperately wants to win. He hasn't won anything since he's owned both teams. Nothing. Nothing. He bought it after they won the cup in 94, so he wasn't involved in that. And I think he bought it after the Knicks made the run to the finals. So he has not had a great Knicks team. The worst thing that happened was when Van Gundy just quit on him. That started it all. It's time now for the baseball report. On 98.7 ESPN, it's driven by Ramsey Mazda. And we talked about this toward the end of the show yesterday with the Baseball Hall of Fame voting getting in, and Scott Rowland got in. And one thing I will tell you, Don, I took a deep dive. Scott Rowland's a Hall of Famer. I know you don't think he is. I think he is. But here's my problem with the Hall of Fame voting. So this was his sixth year on the ballot, I believe. And his first year on the ballot, he got like 10.3% of the vote. You have to get 75% right to get in. What changed? That means John Heyman had a great column actually criticizing his voting brethren, his baseball writing brethren. How could you change your mind that thoroughly? Half of the voters changed their mind in 5 years. Now, there's one caveat to this. You can only vote for 10 people. There's a 10-people limit. So sometimes, you know, some people are about to, you know, go off the ballot, and if they go off the ballot, you can't ever vote for them again. So you use one of your 10 votes and you figure, well, Scott Rowland will be there. I don't get it, though. Is he a Hall of Famer or not? And also, Don, Peter, Jeff Kent. Jeff Kent might be the greatest offensive second baseman of all time. He's off the ballot. He's just got off the ballot. Do you realize that?
Why, because he was surly?
Yeah, I guess he was a complete jerk to people, but that shouldn't matter how he is on the field.
And again, I feel like I'm insulting these players. All right, I look at the Hall of Fame, and all the Hall of Fames have kind of fallen into this category too, where it's become the Hall of the Very Good, not the Hall of the Great. I'm sorry, Scott Rowland, you know, he won 8 Gold Gloves, he went to a few All-Star games, he won a World Series. Is he one of the greatest players of all time? Come on, did you buy a ticket to see Scott Rowland play? Be honest. Did you go to the ballpark and say, I can't wait to see Scott Rowland?
That's not the judgment on whether he's a Hall of Fame. Is he a Hall of Fame player
or
not?
To me, it is.
I mean, there are people that you pay a ticket to go see at the ball game, and they're not Hall of Famers.
But you know what I'm talking about when I say you're going to go see this guy play. You're going to tell your grandkids, I saw Scott Rowland play. No, you're not going to say that. That's what the Hall of Fame to me is for. The greatest players to ever touch their feet on the infield or outfield of a major league stadium. And that is long since sailed away.
Okay, then let me stop you. One of the greatest players of all time. Of all time is Alex Rodriguez. Does he deserve to get in after being suspended for a year? He's one of the top five players ever.
Because it's the stupid clown show of we're going to punish these guys because they cheated instead of using your eyeballs to say these would have been great players anyway.
But you're so just going to ignore category. The fact that Manny Ramirez failed 2 steroids tests? You're okay with that?
Well, someday somebody will. I mean, I think there's a whole generation of people that don't care anymore. But that's a separate argument. If you want to say that they were enhanced, that their numbers weren't real, that's a different story. But you're telling me that Scott Rolen's one of the greatest players ever to play the game? Or was he just a very, very good player?
He's one of the greatest defensive players to ever play the game.
So was Keith Hernandez. He's got no shot of going in.
But you know what, Don?
Had
you
a bring higher up batting average, and one more Gold Gloves, won an MVP,
you're dead
one
right.
more World Series.
You're dead right. And you know what bothered, what hurt Keith Hernandez? Is that they did not have the like writers need these metrics rather than their eyeballs to tell them. So Scott Rolen has benefited from advanced defensive metrics that tell you whether a guy was great or not. Couldn't you see with your eyeballs that Keith Hernandez was great? If Keith Hernandez was on the writers' ballot right now, he would make it in. And I think he's going to make it in from a veterans committee at some point. You're right, Don. He is a better player than Scott Rolen. And I don't know why he's not in. But that doesn't mean that Scott Rolen should be punished.
I'm just saying that, you know, Peter, you know what I'm saying. Like, the average, there's a lot of people who don't even know Scott Rolen played. I mean, this is somebody that transcends the sport, that I should be able to say his name and people will murmur in the crowd talking about, like, how great he was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. He played for, I'm not going to even get caught up in playing with a bunch of teams because there's a lot of guys that played with a lot of players, a lot of different teams later in their careers. But did he ever spend more than 5 years someplace? You know, he bounced around different places, and he was a great defensive third baseman. He was, but is he Mike Schmidt? I mean, that's what you're going to tell me.
Well,
you're talking about
Mike
the greatest
Schmidt.
Third baseman ever play the game. What, Greg Nettles wasn't a great defensive third baseman?
Yeah, and you know what? There could be an argument that if Rolen's in, that Nettles should be in. But Mike Schmidt's the greatest third baseman of all time, so you can't measure everybody against the greatest of all time. Then no one would get in.
No, I understand that. There's going to be some measure, but is he Brooks Robinson? I mean, I'm saying that. Yeah, I don't know why there has to be so many players, and then you just water it down to where is it really that great? I shouldn't have to explain to generations of people who Scott Rolen is. It should just roll off the tongue. I don't have, you know, when Marco and Jalen start to follow baseball, I'm not going to really have to spend too much time explaining to them who Lou Gehrig is, because if they watch games and they study the game, his name will pop up so much that they'll know who he is. That, to me, is a Hall of Famer. I shouldn't have to sit down and explain who somebody is. That's what I have to do with Scott Rolen.
Now, I think my issue with it is that you say this all the time, Michael, they just take themselves too seriously. So, because here's the bottom line. If you believe players like Scott Rolen need to get in just because of the way they actually played the game, they were great defensive players, had solid numbers, and they're deserving to be there, that's great. But you can't fill your Hall of Fame with players like that and leave out big-time famous ball players because you don't like their personality or because they cross some moral line that you've decided is the deciding factor.
Well, I also blame the Hall of Fame a little bit, too. I mean, make it clear that you can vote for players that did steroids or got suspended or say that you can't. Because everybody becomes an individual moralist. But here's the part of John Heyman's story that really angered me. And it included John as well. And John's a good friend, so he knows I'm not ripping him. But he talks about Carlos Beltran not getting in. Now, Carlos Beltran, I believe, is going to get in. Because he had a good number of the vote, which bodes well for him. I don't think anybody has had as many votes as Carlos Beltran in the first time on the ballot and not eventually gotten in. But this is what John writes in the New York Post. He says, Beltran probably will make it in coming years since sign-stealing didn't aid his numbers. In fact, he flat-out stunk in 2017. It feels like a one-year punishment is about right for his involvement as a league-documented instigator of the Astros scandal. I pledge to vote for him next December, and I suspect, though, others may too. Can you imagine how haughty the voters are? They get to decide what the right punishment is for Carlos Beltran figuring out an electronic sign-stealing scandal? Who are you? Imagine if everybody felt like John Heyman did and left Beltran as a punishment for 1 year, then he would not be... He couldn't be voted on next year. If you don't get 5% of vote, you're not on the ballot anymore. Imagine if everybody decided independently they weren't going to vote for him so they could punish him the requisite 1 year. Who are these people? Do they think they're God? Carlos Beltran's a Hall of Famer.
That's what I would say to John Heyman. Who the heck are you? You're a sports writer. It's weird. Like I know a lot of these people, not as personally as you do because I don't cover baseball on a day-in, day-out basis, but I do get the sense that baseball writers feel like that they cover something more important than any other sport. Like, there's sports writers, but then there's baseball writers. You're not covering politics. You're not overseas covering what's happening in governments that are being overthrown. It's just a sport, people. It's no more important than any other sport. And if you go by the sheer numbers and the ratings and the popularity, it's not even close to football. But I don't see football writers walking around like they feel like they have to protect the sport or their sport so much better. There's a lot of other writers covering hockey, basketball, tennis, golf, that take their sport just as seriously, work just as hard, or just have just as much journalistic integrity as you do. Doesn't mean because you cover baseball that you're any more important than those people. But why do I feel like they walk around like they are, Michael? They're smug, they're arrogant, and they walk around like the you-know-what doesn't stink. Guess what? It stinks just as much as everybody else's. You're not that important. You're not.
Well, I think they all did. I definitely believe that they take their vote very, very seriously. And I give them credit for that. And we were talking before the show, you know, why do people have these arguments about baseball? You know, the class of football gets in. Nobody makes arguments. He deserves it. He doesn't deserve it. You might get some, well, why isn't Joe Klecko in or whatever. And it's very brief. You never have arguments about basketball. Never have arguments about hockey. Very few. I think baseball has the most significant Hall of Fame. And I think they have the most transparent voting in the Hall of Fame. So I think that writers now, because of social media, are probably more impacted by things that are written on social media to sway a certain candidate or not. I think that's how Scott Rolen goes from 10% of the vote to 75% of the vote in such a short period of time. And I don't think the support that was there for Kent, that's why he's off the ballot now, which doesn't make sense. And, you know, we keep bringing up Keith Hernandez, if Scott Rolen's in there. Well, if Keith Hernandez is in there, Don Mattingly should be in there as well. So there are a lot of omissions that you don't get. And then you kind of scratch your head and go, Harold Baines is in? Hernandez and Mattingly aren't? And that's not the writers. Those are baseball people. Those are former players and executives. So a lot of people get it wrong. And it's tough because when you vote, there's a lot of voting that goes on because of emotion and personal vendettas. I don't think you could ever cleanse it of that because you can't tell me Don Mattingly should not be in the Hall of Fame or Keith Hernandez should not be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know who they bothered or who doesn't believe in them, but there's something there. And I truly, and Alex Rodriguez, I work with him and we get along great. But I mean, if I had a vote, I don't think I would vote for anybody that was suspended or failed the test. Now, I'd have a hard time with Bonds and Clemens because neither of them failed the test. But if you failed the test or were suspended for it, like Rafael Palmeiro, how could you be voted in?
But the thing is, Michael, this is the way it should be. It shouldn't be about punishing. Like, how dare you cheat, so we're going to punish you and not put you in the Hall of Fame. Steroids, PEDs, should be used as, what would this player be if he wasn't on it?
But you,
and I'm sorry.
Wouldn't you be guessing?
But certain guys, you're not. You're not guessing with Barry Bonds. Look at the numbers he put up before anybody even accused him of PED. Same
but
with Roger Clemens.
Doesn't that tick you off more that he would actually cheat when he was that great?
But again, now you're letting emotion and anger dictate putting him in the Hall of Fame. Like, it bothers you that a guy that was already going to the Hall of Fame decided to cheat. That shouldn't be the emotion. The emotion should be, if I took PEDs away, is he a Hall of Famer? I think you'd have an argument that Mark McGwire would not be, that Sammy Sosa would not be, that Rafael Palmeiro would not be. But Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, you could not convince me that they weren't going to the Hall of Fame. And to punish them because they insulted you by doing it when they were already great, to me, is not a good enough reason.
Well, that is the Baseball Report, driven by Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. One other guy that should be in is Thurman Munson as well. So he came close, but he didn't make it. By the way, Don, you're sitting there in Scotiabank Arena. Used to be Air Canada. Your ice picks have been tremendous lately.
I mean, to put it mildly.
Three-way parlays the last 2 days.
Yeah, last 2 days. I'm going to go with a two-leg today. I don't want to have the arrogance of going trying to go 3 for 3 with three. And the crazy thing is that people have been at the edge of their seats because a lot of these games have ended in overtime. So it could have went either way. But I made just some money the last couple of days. Matter of fact, a guy who made so much money, he wanted to send money to a charity. And I told him,
The charity is Don LaGreca, Inc.
No, my charity forever going forward is going to be the Ronald McDonald House. So if anybody ever wants to put anything charitable for me, then that's where I would want you to send it. Don't send me any money. I don't need any money. It's nice. I guess these guys are like gamblers, right? So they always, like, you tip the dealer. I don't need that.
But there's one guy who's a real crazy person, Michael. He said,
yeah, I saw this.
He won a big stack the first day. He bet the whole stack, won again the second day, and he says, I can't wait till today so I can bet the whole thing again. My man, three straight parlays? I mean, it's possible, Don. I don't doubt you, but you might want to pull out some of it. Maybe pull out 75% and then bet the remaining
25%. Also, if you keep rolling it over, I'm going to get, as brilliant as Don is when it comes to hockey, he will lose one. and then you lose everything. It doesn't make sense what you're doing to continue to roll it over. He might be hot right now. At some point, he's gonna stub his toe and miss one of the games in the parlay, and then you lost everything. So listen to what Peter said. Take some of the money out and make a profit.
The beauty of the parlay is that when you bet a parlay, it pays out bigger. So you can still take out money, bet less, and win a lot. It's the fact that you're only playing parlays right now, and Don, I like that as a gimmick for you. Just giving people parlays every day is pretty dope. Because it plays that way, you might as well take out the money and bet the smaller amount and get the bigger payout.
And it's only four games today. I'm not betting Rangers, and I don't want to do another three-leg, so I'm going to do a two-leg today. We'll do that, I guess, at 5:45.
Why don't you show some guts and go three-leg?
I mean, I could.
That was his nickname in high school.
Three. Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
My dad, that's why he's so popular at the keyboard.
What the F?
Let's go to Larry in Brooklyn.
Hey, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener. How are you doing?
Welcome aboard.
Thanks, Don. Okay, it's not always about the money. Did we win last night? Yeah. But come on, I was at the edge of my seat for 2 hours. Two overtime games and one down to the wire. You can't watch sports any other way now.
I know.
Pure entertainment. That was gold.
It's and even and listen, I want you guys to win so bad. It's like it's consumed me now. Like I'm really following. I was on a flight. I couldn't wait to land in Toronto to just see how everybody was doing because it was up in the air when I took off. These games were all tied. So I'm glad it's worked out. It's been fun.
There you go.
Yeah. Say again. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Listen, all of you people though. He's giving you winners. Don't complain if you have to sweat about it. He didn't say he's going to give you all like easy money. If you're going to sweat, you're going to sweat. It's part of the joy.
I think that guy was saying that he enjoyed like it made a lot of made it fun. I don't know if he's following Kings Flyers on a normal basis, but guess what? He was last night.
You know, I've made this decision, Peter. I haven't even told you this, but if I do end up retiring, I don't know if I could just I watch sports now because of the show. And, I want to see what I'm going to be talking about. But in order for me to have that interest other than baseball, I think I'm going to be starting to bet a lot.
I like
just
that.
Just to get that juice.
Yeah, I think you need to become a degenerate gambler.
Now, why degenerate? Why throw key party into it?
Well, I mean, you just have to be careful, Don. If you've never felt the rush before, once you taste it, just be mindful.
You know what? That's very good advice.
But if you are going to sign up, go to FanDuel and use the promo code Peter.
Oh, I'd go bet MGM.
Well, I disagree.
And wow. Michael would use DraftKings.
And I would use DraftKings. So I just don't know. Anyway, sure. Dennis from South Plainfield won a $200 Fanatics gift card in the Superbox Bonanza. We have another
Dennis.
One in the 5 o'clock hour. So congratulations to Dennis. Fanatics gift card. You get a nice jersey.
Sure.
Something beautiful for the people. How about the Kansas City Chiefs today? Did you see this? Injury report. No one. Everyone's healthy. They did not list Patrick Mahomes on the injury report. Did that move the line at all?
Well, if it didn't, then that means the people were not betting that Mahomes was hurt. They were just falling in love with Cincy.
If it didn't, they don't believe Andy Reid.
It's minus one now. They got a point back.
Wow, so there you go.
All right, we'll come back.
You can't
even
do the work on this. The line's moving too much.
Oh, that's why you can't settle in until Friday. Joe Fortenbaugh is going to help us.
Sure he will.
Mm-hmm.
But it's moving day for three of us. Peter has to hold off Don. Don has to hold me off.
I have to hold you off, too.
Well, I mean, I've got to be
You'd have to be perfect, and I'd have to go. But think about how – well, no, there's only 5 points out there today, right?
5 points this week.
And I'm up how many on you?
Next week. And you're up five over me, I think.
Right, and it could be moving day or not because we're submitting, so it could be nothing.
You could eliminate me from the first place, Peter, if you take the same games as me. I'm done.
That would be it, yeah, because all I'd have left is the three-point play in the Super Bowl.
Well, I could do the same to Don.
Right, that's why we're picking
that's true. I can knock you both out this week.
Or we could really make you poop your pants.
So I can knock you out not only with picking different games in a row, but just picking the same games as you.
Yeah, if you pick the same games, you've knocked me out.
That's why we submit.
But I will tell you, I don't know what you guys think, particularly that KC Cincy game to me is very tough.
Good. I'm glad you're having difficulty with it. I'm locked in for both games already.
Oh, wow, nice.
Really? So you don't even pay attention to what happens.
Locked in.
Interesting.
Are you locked in, Don?
No. One, I am. I'm locked in on the
Anthony
NFC.
Greek, our denied degenerate gambler from Yes, to win the Super Bowl, the Eagles are +250. Bengals +250, Eagles, Chiefs plus 270 and San Francisco plus 330. Wow. Not a lot of love for San Francisco.
Well, because you got a young quarterback. That's probably why.
I think he's not young anymore. He's just really purdy.
That's the kind of name where you have to be really good at something.
And by the way, I got to tell you one thing before we go to break here. Paul Heyman, who we've had on the show before, the great Paul Heyman from WWE, Raw was in Philly on Monday.
Yeah.
He did the most brilliant thing, because his thing for many, many years, guys, was screaming Brock Lesnar's name. You may remember he did it on our show.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar. That was like his thing. And so on Monday, the crowd was cheering a little bit too much for him and Roman Reigns, who are supposed to be bad guys. And the line he pulled was, you guys are going to get thrashed here on Sunday by Brock Purdy. And turned it was... chef's kiss. How often would you have the opportunity to use that name that way? It was gorgeous.
You got a Purdy mouth.
Oh, God.
All right, we'll come back. We'll take some phone calls, talk about Purdy things right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And I've always liked him, but now I like him to a different level. And that athlete is Rory McIlroy. Because the sheer vindictiveness and laminated list nature of his being, it just excites me.
Okay.
Patrick Reed,
yeah,
who's with Live Golf.
Who I refer to lovingly as Fat Tiger. Go ahead.
Oh, wow.
Because he loves to wear the red Nike shirt on Sunday, and they'll show him, and you're like, oh, is that Tiger? No, it's Patrick Reed.
Well, anyway, Patrick Reed is with Live Golf. Rory McIlroy is very anti-Live Golf.
Sure he is. Him and Tiger.
Right. And Reed, I guess, was suing McIlroy for defamation of character because he said some things about the guys that went to Live Golf. And he had Rory McIlroy served with the papers to sue him on Christmas Eve. And that was a bridge too far for Rory. So they're playing in the same tournament this week in Dubai. And, like, Patrick Reed came over and shook, like, McIlroy's caddy's hand. And McIlroy completely ignored him to the point that Patrick Reed threw a tee at him. And McIlroy just completely ignored him and said, you know what, if I was Rory McIlroy and I had done that, if I was Patrick Reed, I guess he would have sued me. So, I mean, the hatred is there. He's not hiding it. He's not trying to take the high road. I've preached to all of you over all these 21 years, the high road is the road less traveled. Rory's taking the low road, and I think that's the road to take here. So congratulations, Rory. You're now one of mine.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's just how you like him.
That's how I like him. Hey, by the way, Eric Church is coming to PNC Bank Art Center. This is on Friday, August 25th. ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets all week with DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael K. Show. It's all from Live Nation. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Now, speaking of DiPietro and Rothenberg, I guess Rick has come to like some kind of sponsorship agreement with a car dealership. I can't say what car dealership because they don't advertise on our show. That's fine, as long as they're advertising with the station. But sure. Rick is the face, and he was there today, and he took pictures in the car, and whatever they're giving him, he deserves more, because just to have that face in the car, what it means to that car dealership, that Rick DiPietro and that handsome face sitting in one of their vehicles, something special. Check it out on Twitter. You'll see it. I just don't want to give them free advertising on our show.
Is it a nice car, though?
Yeah, beautiful.
Okay. Wow.
But anything he's in looks great.
That's a great point.
He could be in a used, Rambler.
I got to say, I just watched the video of Reed throwing the tee.
Yes.
It is the softest attempt at doing anything. Like, Don, have you seen it yet, Don?
No.
I don't think he was trying to hurt him, right? He was trying to, like,
Yeah, but it's like it's still such a non-demonstrative move. So he goes over, and as he goes over to Rory, Rory at the same time drops down to sort of put his tee in the ground or do something. Mm-hmm. And Rory just sort of never looks up, and then Reed just kind of chucks the tee back towards him. It's like such a nothing.
Do you blame McIlroy? The guy served him on Christmas Eve.
No, absolutely not. I respect Rory. Rory's standing by his convictions on all this stuff. And
I've long said, Peter, there's a place for pettiness in this world.
I know. Not enough people appreciate it, but you do.
I do. Oh, yeah.
You don't forget.
No, never. Never will. Believe me, everybody out there, everyone who has ever crossed me,
yeah,
it might not happen, but just know that every day that I remain on this earth, I will work at getting back to you. I might fail, but I'm always scheming to get back at anyone who has ever crossed me or ever written anything nasty about me. Anyway, I always work to get back.
I just want to say, don't listen to what the books say, Michael, and what the therapists, what 100% of therapists would say. That is a healthy way to live.
I think so.
You hold on to the heart deep. Don, I hear it's good for your health.
So your mental coaches, okay, they tell you to let go of this stuff.
I think most everyone. Listen, I respect it in many ways. I do. Again, I mean, I was raised by a father who would read the obituaries to see if people he hated were dead yet every day.
I love that man.
That's right up Michael's alley.
So I was raised by that man. So don't get me wrong, I appreciate it. But the truth is, in terms of finding actual happiness, no, I think letting it go is the ultimate win.
All right, that's fine. But not everything is
Gandhi.
Equal.
But Don, that's not about being Gandhi. That's just about finding happiness.
But I find happiness with pettiness.
But there's also, what's the line between letting it go and being a doormat?
Oh, beautiful. That's a t-shirt right there.
Well.
No, it's an honest question. Like, oh, he lets it go. That's the guy that lets it go so we can take advantage of him because he's not going to do anything because he lets it go.
There's so much in between those things. Like, do you think Michael is upset mostly with people, Don, who have in any way tried to make him a doormat, or for people who he had one sort of like bad interaction with, or they did something that he didn't like?
No. Oh, see, wait a second. You can ask me. I'm here. If you crossed me once, okay, I'm not looking to destroy you because you'll never be let into the inner circle. I'm not like Derek Jeter like that.
You won't be in the inner circle, right?
I won't. You've crossed yourself. You never can have the grace of being my friend. But if you continually go after me, I'm coming after you. I am. Cool. And I love, too, like the people that criticize you in our business, and if you answer back, oh, how thin skin, why does he just take it? He's Michael K. Why can't I fight back?
Well, no.
Why am I not allowed to fight back?
Hold on. I totally agree with you. If someone continues, I mean, guys, there are a lot of things about me that can be said. I think you would both agree doormat or holding back against people who have said things about me is not it. So I'm with you in that. If it's people who continuously go at you, by all means. But I'm just saying if it's something that's 20 years old and they're not going at you anymore, you might be, Don, you see what I'm saying? You might then be better served to let it go.
I wasn't like when Michael said a t-shirt. I was just asking like a legitimate question because it can be something that can be taken advantage of. If you're known as he's always going to take the high road, he's always going to let it go. I'll let it go until it's time not to let it go. I just don't know what that line is because it keeps moving all the time, and it probably depends on the person. Some people you might give a couple of chances to, some 30. It really depends.
And some zero, right.
And some zero, yeah. So to say you always let it go, that can't be the answer. It can't be always.
You should try
to let it go, but then sometimes you just can't.
And by the way, the thing that Reed was trying to do to really antagonize Rory, there's an addendum to it, Peter. Mm-hmm. He threw a LIV Golf tee at him.
Ah.
What Rory should have done.
Still nothing.
Right?
Yeah.
Was pick up the LIV Golf tee. And I don't advocate violence.
Shoved it right up his
car. No. He just shoved it into his arm.
Oh, into his arm.
Not kill him, but just a real bad wound. Just shove the end of the sharp part of the tee into his shoulder, something like that.
What about?
Yeah,
what
I think
about
you dropped your tee. Bam.
Wouldn't you have loved it? Wouldn't you have loved it if the second Patrick Reed turned around, the guy, the huge scary guy from Happy Gilmore, is standing there, saying, "And I'll be waiting for you in the parking lot."
I love it.
But Peter's right. It's nothing, but you know, nothing has set people off before. Like, what was he hoping to do? Was he trying to get a reaction?
Listen, I'll tell you right now, if they got into a legitimate fist fight, I think it's great for the game. That could actually make Don LaGreca pay attention to something in golf.
That, because if they had a, if Patrick Reed and Rory had a fist fight in your backyard, you wouldn't call the police, right? You'd watch.
Well, let them have at it.
But would you pay attention? Would you be more likely to watch them fight than play golf?
Sure, because they're not golfing.
Right.
I've got nothing against golfers except the fact they golf. If they're fighting each other and they're not golfing, I'd like to see that. I encourage it. I wish
now, Peter, you're familiar with both of these guys. Rory McIlroy is ripped. I think I would take him in a fight with Patrick Reed.
Yeah, Patrick Reed's a little soft.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't know. I don't know style-wise who's the crazy man.
Also, can you also explain this to me, Peter? You're
I explain
golf fan
so
the three
much.
Of us.
Yeah, sure.
The LIV Golf signed with the CW?
Come on. I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh, really? That's their audience? Archie and
right.
Riverdale?
Hold on. See, and now?
After a special Roisha.
Moisha.
Roisha, what's wrong with them?
I don't know.
You were so close.
I was close.
But hold on. By the way, it says, wow, the Atlantic, LIV Golf's new TV deal with the CW explained. It's really interesting, too, because that was the conversation I started having about when the WWE, that rumor came out about them and going to the Saudis. That was my question I had is, if you do business with them, are you going to be able to get the TV deals? And the answer would be here, it looks like, guys, in terms of LIV Golf, I can't imagine CW was their first choice. I would love to know whether they actually had meetings and attempted to get ABC, ESPN on board or
of
any
of course they did. That would be their preference. So it goes down to the CW.
I mean, that's how many things? I mean, what, Paramount Plus was booked?
I would assume that all those streaming services, like Paramount Plus, is connected to CBS. They don't want to risk the Masters or anything like that.
No, they can't.
The golf fans in New York want to know. The LIV Golf fans in New York, how many times will the Mets and Yankees bump coverage?
Oh, what a good question. But we weren't on the CW anymore.
That's right, because you went.
Because we went to Amazon.
But the Mets are still on there.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they'll work that out. And also, it's only three rounds. It's not four.
This is, wow, the Atlantic going up and in right in the first sentence. After months of speculation, the controversial LIV Golf Tour finally has a U.S. television home, alongside reboots of Walker, Texas Ranger, and the latest edition of World's Funniest Animals. Oh, my God. Oh, man.
The only show I watch on that channel is Penn and Teller's Fool Us. That's actually a pretty good show. I don't watch it live. We DVR it.
Of course.
I don't have a lot of time. But it's actually a fun show. I don't know if you're a fan.
No.
Really?
I like Penn and Teller.
Well, so what they
the
do is...
The other guy doesn't talk enough.
A magician will perform an act and to see if they could fool Penn and Teller and whether they know or not how it was done.
And see, that's the reason, like, a lot of people love seeing magicians, and I don't, because unless you're going to tell me how you did it, I don't care.
But it's pretty cool if you can fool, like, two of the greatest magicians of all time and do it, and they don't know how it's done. It's pretty cool.
Well, I know how this gig is done. We have to go and stop for a break right now.
Oh, sure.
Although we're on a roll on the greatest show that we've had this year, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
John in Phillipsburg. John.
Hey, guys. Big Jets fan here, and I got a question that I don't really know the answer to, and I just wanted to share some thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. You know, the question is, why does Aaron Rodgers only have one Super Bowl appearance? You know, and then some thoughts that I have, you know, as a Jets fan, I mean, I get it. You know, Rodgers would likely be tremendous if he got onto the Jets. Mm-hmm. But I just find myself thinking more and more about Derek Carr. You know, Aaron Rodgers right now, he just seems busy contemplating retirement on the podcast that he's on. And Derek Carr, I just think that he's getting ready for a redemption tour. You know, he's statistically comparable to Matthew Stafford, and he's never really had a defense.
You have two questions, all right? So why did he only win one? All right, well, I mean, I don't think the Packers are a non-flawed team, and there are a lot of great quarterbacks that don't have any Super Bowl appearances. Great quarterbacks. So Dan Marino never won a Super Bowl and you would take Dan Marino on the Jets. And I listen, I like Derek Carr, John, but in your mind's eye, who's the better quarterback? Who's the all-time great
year,
and who's a good quarterback?
For next year, it's Aaron Rodgers, absolutely.
And I agree with you also, John. I agree with you. I think he's going to be a pain in the ass. I just do. That's who he is. He's a pain. He's going to pontificate on everything. He's going to anger people. He's going to deliberate and, you know, work things over in his mind and then speak out loud about it. Yeah, it's all a pain. But Don and Peter, if he has the talent that he has, I think that's why people live with it. It's a great deodorant.
The Drew Brees only has one Super Bowl. You wouldn't have taken Drew Brees as your quarterback over the last decade. You know, I understand. You're talking about guys that have one or two Super Bowls. Outside of Tom Brady, how many guys have, I mean, you have three or four?
Right.
You're looking for, you've had one in 50-plus years. Well, but I'll go with Derek Carr, who has zero and hasn't come close. Right? And, I mean, there's a lot of issues in Green Bay that go beyond just Aaron Rodgers. But you wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers on your team because he only won one Super Bowl? And your franchise has won one since January of 1969?
Okay, but then let's get to the crux of the caller's point, though, Don. You get Carr, you might have a quarterback for 8 years. You get Rodgers, you might have a quarterback for two or three. And now we're not quite sure, did Rodgers take that little drop that older players take this year, or was it just a blip because he didn't have the wide receiver? So who do you want? The 8-year quarterback that might not be as good but has more stability in terms of not being a pain in the butt, or do you want Rodgers? Who do you want? You could choose.
Well, I want the best chance to win. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's about just 1 year. I think you can get two more years out of him at least.
Two more after this year?
Maybe just one more after this year.
Okay.
But you wouldn't want two legitimate kicks at the can? Like how long are you going to have talent? Like people think, oh, the Jets are an exceptionally talented team, Michael, so what, they're going to have talent for the next 10 years. We don't know that. Guys get hurt. Guys underachieve. I mean, is Sauce Gardner going to be the best corner in football over the next decade? It looks like it, but, you know, that's not guaranteed. But I know going into next year, they're going to have a ton of young talent. And then you throw a quarterback in there who's a leader, who can win big games or has been played in a ton of big games. You're going to do that? I mean, how many playoff games has even Derek Carr played in? Just trying to look that up to get the exact number.
I think one.
Yeah.
I think one.
So I can have him for the next 4 or 5 years, and yeah, I might win a Super Bowl with him, but I might also not be great either. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, but the one thing that I feel really good about is that they're going to have an excellent chance of winning a Super Bowl over the next couple of years. And to me, two first-round picks for that chance, I don't pass that up.
Let's go to John. John's in Hackensack. What's up, Johnny?
Hi. I'm kind of in lockstep with the last guy. I totally get your point that you made, Don. My fear is that, you know, unless, you know, Mekhi Becton goes and comes back as a cyborg, you're going to have to pick up an offensive lineman to protect any quarterback that you pick up. Mm-hmm. So if you do get Aaron Rodgers, now that option kind of gets thrown out the window, or at least it's a lot harder to protect him. And I'm kind of afraid of a Brett Favre 2.0. You know, if you do only get 1 year out of Aaron Rodgers, then yeah, they bring us to the playoffs, and you know, it's great. I would love to be back in the playoffs. It's been 12 excruciating years, but if you only get 1 year out of him, and then suddenly he gets hurt, and now what? We're back at square one. Are we going back to Zach Wilson? Do we have to draft a new guy?
Hey,
and then
listen, the cycle, I mean, you're looking at the worst case scenario. The Favre situation was going to be 1 year, no matter what. Right?
He's a Jet fan. He's
well, I know, but I'm saying is no matter what. I mean, if I bring in Lamar Jackson, he's probably going to get hurt. If I bring in Derek Carr, he's going to be a bust. I mean, coming from a Jet perspective, anything they do is going to end up failing, right, if you go by their history. But Aaron Rodgers had a bad thumb this year and still threw for almost 4,000 yards and over 20 touchdowns. Jets haven't had a quarterback to do that in a long time, and if they did it this year, they would have easily made the playoffs. Don't compare it to Favre. They were 8-3, and then he hurt his shoulder and didn't tell anybody about it. Right, and Michael, they knew they only had 1 year with Favre. I think you're going to have at least two really quality years, if not a third. And Farrah Tucker's going to come back, and Becton should be able to give you something. I think their offensive line just that way is going to be improved. You don't have to spend a fortune and high draft picks on offensive linemen. The Giants tried that for the last decade, and it didn't work.
Listen, I don't blame Jet fans for looking at the negative. They've always suffered the negative. I get it. It's like PTSD. But you're right. Even if you get Derek Carr, he could get hurt. The one thing about Aaron Rodgers is he's kind of sturdy. He doesn't miss games. Now, he was compromised with a bad thumb.
Right, but he made every
seems
start.
Like he's a strong dude.
He made every single start. But again, I understand the Jet fans' apprehension. So you're not going to dare to be great. You're going to dare to be very good. Because that's any other quarterback, if you drop in Derek Carr, they're a good team. They're a very good team. I don't know if they're beating out Buffalo for the division, but I think you're a playoff team. But if you get Aaron Rodgers, I think you could compete for the Super Bowl. Yeah, you could crash and burn, but I don't think any of those other quarterbacks are going to give you the confidence that you can make a run the way Aaron Rodgers can over the next couple of years.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.